It is good if some people can sit here, no? In the middle. What is the meaning of this? No one wants to, doesn't like to sit in front of me, a speaker. And better not sit to wall, so that avoid sleeping. Known for sleeping in the class.
Comfort.
It's good for health also, to keep our back straight. And sitting like that is, you know, in the colleges generally boys like to sit backside because they are not interested in. That shows disinterest in what we are doing here. So, it is spoken by Krishna to Arjuna. It is spoken by, in generally we see in the scriptures, in Vedic scriptures, in Puranas, Vedic scriptures, there are conversation between conversation, conversation between conversation, and conversation between conversation. In Bhagavatam, at one point of time, there are 7 conversations going on simultaneously. Conversation within conversation, conversation within conversation. So, I'll come back to this point little later in our discussion today about the conversations. It is conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. It is conversation between Sanjaya, Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya. And it is conversation between Vaishampayana Muni and Janmeja and Vyasadeva compiled it, wrote it, and he got it written through Ganesha. So it is a part of, in Bhagavad Gita many verses are not directly spoken by Sanjaya or Dhritarashtra. There is Krishna and Arjuna, and in between you will see that there is Sanjaya Uvacha comes. But there are some verses which are not spoken by Sanjaya. They are spoken by Vaishampayana Muni and written by Vyasadeva. For example, in first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Sagosho Dhartarashtranam Dadayani Vidare Nabasya Prithivim Chaiva Tumulobhyanunadayam. After when the conch shell and instruments were sounded, Sagosho, the sound, Dhartarashtran Radayani Vedarayat. Shattering of the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra. There was shattering of the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra due to that sound. And that sound reached the sky. This is 1.19. So that reached the sky, and it sounded everywhere on the earth, and it reached the sky. Now from this verse, you see, is it from second verse onwards? Sanjaya is speaking. Sanjaya is explaining the scene on the battlefield. Now then he explains that both the side conch shells were sounded till 18th verse. He speaks that. And 19th verse, suddenly what it says? It says the sound of the instruments shattered the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra. Obviously he will not speak like that. When he is speaking to Dhritarashtra, he will sons of the Dhritarashtra's hearts were shattered like that, he will not say. You got that, yeah? He could have directly spoken, you know, that your sons' hearts were shattered, you know. Sagosho Dhritarashtra. So he did not. He used it as a third person he is speaking. So that shows that it is not spoken by Sanjaya. That verse is spoken by. so Vaishampayana. Like that there will be many verses which will be spoken by. I think in Vedavyasa I saw they have made list of how many verses spoken by. Looks like it is wrong. I have not cross-checked, but you can see that. Because not all the verses are spoken by Sanjay or Dhritarashtra. Okay, so some point. You may not understand also because it's just a conversation goes on. One reason because of that is when original scriptures are written, there are these marks, what they call it as exclamatory marks. Single inverted comma or double inverted comma, they are called as exclamatory marks or quotation marks. What kind of marks? So all are four in English. So
double quotes. This narration is written by Vyasa.
Yeah, but you see, Sanjaya Uvacha means he is speaking the words of the, you know, he is quoting the words of Sanjaya. So, in original scriptures, there are quotation marks, you know, exclamatory marks. Then it will end there. Then another, you know, sometimes double exclamatory, sometimes single exclamatory, like that. So, differentiation will be there. If you have comments, you can tell me later. Better don't disturb. If you are correct, if I am wrong also, you can correct me later. You have full right to do that. In the end, express your views, points, opinions. It is not good to speak in between when a speaker is speaking. That is the common etiquette you should learn, which is told to you previously. So, in this way, there are conversations within conversations in Bhagavad Gita also. But ultimately, it is spoken by Bhagavad Gita, means it's a song of Krishna, song of Bhagavan. And then we were seeing that how Bhagavad Gita is Prasthanatraya. Then we discussed second point was that importance of Bhagavad Gita, in that what are the benefits of Bhagavad Gita, then how Bhagavad Gita is a scripture and it's a book on highest religious process and morality. And then we discussed what is the speciality among all the scriptures. Bhagavad Gita is, it is as good as Vedas. It is apaurushaya. It contains which no other scriptures of the world, like Bible and Quran. Means it also, it contains what is there in those scriptures and it also contains what is not there in those scriptures. And then we discussed what if one is not faithful to Bhagavad Gita, what will happen to him? So then Krishna says that their endeavors for knowledge will be baffled, they will become nashta chetasaha. And they are fools, and that is from 332. And in 442 purport, verse and purport, we see that they are misused. Prabhupada says they are misusing the fragmental independence given to them. Basically, they are misusing their human form of life. They are wasting their human. And Prabhupada, he writes, they are fool number one, he says. Those who do not accept the principles of Bhagavad Gita. And then in 40th verse, that agyasya shaddadanasya samshayatma vinashati. So they will fall down, they will not make progress. And in again 31st verse, also 3rd chapter, it is told they cannot be liberated. And in 11th chapter also towards the end, it is told that there is no possibility of attaining perfect spiritual knowledge if we don't take to Bhagavad Gita. Now from this it appears, I would like to bring one point here. It appears that is it not fanatic or dogmatic to say like this? If you don't take, you are fool number one, you are You will fall down. You are misusing. You are like that. So you are cursing them. Their endeavors for perfection will be baffled. Is it not fanatic or dogmatic? Because nowadays this is a big issue in the world. There are religions which are religious, so-called religious persons, so-called representatives of God, who preach in such a way that in a fanatic way, in a dogmatic way, you have to believe, otherwise so you will be eternally sent to hell, eternally burn in hell, eternal damnation. So there are religions like that. Because of such fanatic dogmatic preaching, many people have become atheists. Now religion has become the cause of atheism. Can you imagine? Religion is supposed to make people faithful to God. So religion has become cause of atheism. Our Guru Maharaj wanted to write a book answering the atheist, and the first chapter was how religion is the cause of atheism. That was the first chapter. That was his plan. So in this way, religion has become a cause of atheism in the world. Because of this dogmatism, many of the scientists, of course, those people who are like that also, they are also fanatic and dogmatic. There is a word nowadays which is coined about this fanatic science. So that is called as scientism. Scientism is fanatical science. Because among scientists also many believe in God and all those things. Maybe because of their cultural background, cultural conditioning, what is called. So because most of the people who are believers of God, they don't have clear knowledge about God, like yesterday we were discussing. So scientism is also fanaticism. Scientism is also fanaticism. It is a fanatical science, scientism. So both religionists are fanatic, scientists are fanatic. But anyway, so religion is supposed to be based on theological platform. It should be based on philosophy. So now preaching like this, it is these statements we are reading from Bhagavad Gita. And there is also one more statement which we did not include in this, which we are supposed to include. One more statement is there. Krishna says, if you do not follow these instructions towards the end in the 18th chapter, you will be lost, he says. Krishna says. So is it not fanatical and dogmatic? What is your answer? Have your small, someone can give him small exchange, no, this, give this one to them, this small ones are meant for Gurukulis and big ones are meant for bigger Gurukulis. Exchange, no, you all didn't like that size or what? This was good, huh? This size
is too high.
Too high. That is make to make your back straight, actually. Nice. Otherwise you will complain backache after a few years. By sitting like this. I am also sitting like this. Yes?
Before seeing this, Prabhu is explaining everything in a very logical way. And at last also he tells that, I am telling you this is a fact. Now, what you like, you do. It's not that you will not do, then this will. These are the things which will happen. But it depends on you, what you want.
Okay. Any other answer? Any other answer? Dogmatic means accepting without questioning, blindly believing. That is dogmatic. So dogmatic means we are making them to believe in. Just then. If you, there may be, I don't know what is the dictionary definition of fanaticism, but at least in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada defines it very clearly. That is the ultimate and very clear definition of fanaticism. If 3.3 Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada, he says, religion without philosophy is sentimentalism or sometimes fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So clearly defined, what is sentimentalism, what is fanaticism, what is mental speculation. So now, based on this definition of fanaticism, because Krishna everything explains philosophically, in fact he brings all the philosophies and smashes them down very clearly, and establishes the supremacy, his own supremacy and supremacy of devotional service, and faithfully following scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, importance of that. So therefore, it is not fanaticism. Actually, I wanted to say one more statement before I analyze this. Apart from Bhagavad Gita, everything else, whether it is religion, in the present day society I am talking, whether it is religion or science, it's just fanaticism. It is sentimentalism, it is fanaticism and mental speculation, that's all. Apart from Bhagavad Gita, present, in present scenario, if you want to, you can do a PhD thesis on that in sociology. If you want to study the cultures of the world or present psychology of the humanity, so if you thoroughly understand it, you can understand that apart from Bhagavad Gita, as it is especially, so everything else is sentimentalism, fanaticism is mental speculation. And Bhagavad Gita is also not dogmatic. I was telling, there are conversation within conversation. So that itself shows that it is not dogmatic, because you are not accepting without questioning. Arjuna is asking questions and Krishna is answering. So therefore, it is not dogma also. As soon as we talk about question, you know, conversations and question and answers, there is no question of dogma there. So it's a question and answer. All our scriptures are question and answer. Somebody is asking questions, somebody is answering. Therefore, it is not dogma. It is not. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, this is not fanaticism. It is truth, and it is expression of sympathy and compassion. If you do not be faithful to this, then what will happen to it? So cautioning and expressing sympathy, expressing compassion it is. So therefore it is not dogmatic or fanaticism. So today's topic, for whom the Bhagavad Gita is meant, or in other words, who is qualified to hear Bhagavad Gita? So, who is qualified to hear Bhagavad Gita? Or, in other words, who is the disciple? What are the qualifications of the disciple? Oh, sorry. Who are not the disciple we are talking? It is not meant. Hare Krishna. So, you take prasadam and cup. Prasadam. You can keep luggage in that second room, in this side. Kunji Bihari, show that room just now, which you clean. So, We did not tell. I was hoping that it will be. Whatever is there, they can share. Yeah, what I was saying was, who is not qualified to hear? Who is disqualified as disciple of Bhagavad Gita? This is not only a disciple of Bhagavad Gita. Any disciple. So, in Bhagavad Gita itself, Krishna is telling that who are not qualified to hear this, or for whom it is not meant. In Bhagavad Gita 18.67, so we'll read that, you hear first. Huh? So he tells about four classes of people. So first one is na tapaskaya, those who are not austere. So now here austerity means, austerity has different meanings. Austerity has different meanings. In Bhagavad Gita also Lord Krishna has defined austerity. Prabhupada often used to define austerity as voluntarily accepting some inconvenience to mind and body for higher purpose, for some spiritual purpose. That is austerity. In this purport 18.67, Prabhupada, austerity is of the religious process. So austerity is of the religious process. It can be many things, but basically you see religion is based on four pillars, and one of the pillars is austerity. So we have to, austere means we have to follow all these four regulative principles. And especially out of the four regulative principles, meat eating, gambling, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling. Out of the four, which one breaks the austerity? Anyone knows?
Intoxication.
Intoxication breaks the austerity? No one is sure. Meat eating breaks compassion, mercy and compassion. And illicit sex breaks cleanliness. How it breaks cleanliness? Consciousness becomes polluted, desire to enjoy and dominate the world becomes more and more. Physically also, mentally also. Then, and intoxication breaks austerity.
Intoxication breaks
austerity. And gambling breaks truthfulness. So these are the four pillars of dharma, and four sinful activities which break the pillars of dharma. So gambling breaks truthfulness. Now many of the occupation, prasadam they are taking. Okay. So anyway, truthfulness we'll talk about it a little later. Intoxication breaks austerity. Especially drinking alcohol. So among all kinds of austerity, intoxication, alcohol is very dangerous, most sinful. So it breaks austerity. So one has to control his senses to become austere. And in this way one can follow austerity, this principle of religiousness. So basically austerity means following all four regulative principles, and especially no intoxication. So those who are intoxicant, they are not fit to study Bhagavad Gita, or Bhagavad Gita is not meant for them. And second class of people, na bhaktaya, those who are not devotees, those who have not attempted devotional service. Devotional service means Krishna, those who are non-devotees of Krishna. And third is na shushushave. Shushushave has two meanings. One is that those who are not willing to hear, they are called as na shushushave. That is literal meaning, one meaning. And another meaning which Prabhupada here has translated, those who have not tended to a pure devotee, Prabhupada writes in the purport. In other words, shushushaya means doing menial services to a devotee. Doing menial service. You know that verse, no? In Shri Upadeshamrita, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranati vishya bhajantamisham shushushaya bhajana vigya mananyamanye nindadi shunya ridamipsita sangalabdva. So in that verse, Rupa Goswami is defining three classes of devotees and how one should deal with them. So those who are chanting Hare Krishna, they should be mentally respected. Those who have taken diksha, they should be offered obeisances. And those who are, that means madhyamas, should be offered obeisances. And those who are uttamas, they should be shushushave, shushushaya, bhajanam vigyam ananyamanya, nindadi shunyaradam ipsitalabhadabda. He also defines what are their characteristics. Dikshasthitche pranati vishya bhajantamisham. He is bhajantamisham. And third, that uttama bhagavata is bhajanam vigyam. He is bhajanam vigyam and he is free from nindadi shunyaradam ipsitalabhadabda. He is free from critical mentality. So, or blasphemous. He is not blasphemous. So, he does not blaspheme devotees or Lord. Nindadi shunya radam ipsita sangaladva. Of course, we should not take this criticizing and blaspheming that no criticism. Why then all the sadhus have criticized here? Here, you know, we were discussing proper fool number one in the last section we were discussing. They are demons. Then why sadhus have criticized? This doesn't mean that we should not criticize. So it means criticism of, unnecessary criticism of Vaishnavas. Even criticizing Vaishnavas is also required, constructive, just for their benefit and for the benefit of their followers. For the benefit of whole world, three reasons why one can criticize others. Bhaktivinoda Thakur told that. So, yeah, that is not our topic, criticism is, but their word, shushushave, it comes. Shushushaya bhajana vigya mananya manya nindadi shunya. So one should serve those uttama bhagavatas and one should take their associations. Sangamips. Nindadi shunya radamipsita sangalabdva. Sangalabdva means one should take association of such devotees. Shushushaya means, here Prabhupada has translated also, tending to a devotee. That means if he desires to take bath, one should arrange for water. Maybe he can make the water warm. And if he wants to take rest, arrange for bedding. If he wants to take prasad, maybe cook or serve prasadam. So like that, all these services, fanning him, those days there were no fans. Disciples used to fan the spiritual master whole night. Whole night they will not sleep. That is the dedication. And morning he will get up and he will not say thank you very much, this, that and all. Okay, now, enough. Guru. This is the relation between Guru and disciple. One should throw one's life to the lotus feet of Guru. So, of course, he is not in need of your service, Guru is. Just to train the disciple in service attitude, he takes service. coming back to our point of Shushushave, so this is how one should tend to a pure devotee. Such people are eligible for, those who have not done this, they are not meant, Bhagavad Gita is not meant for them. So, that is the meaning of Na Shushushave. Then Abhyasuyati, one who is envious of Krishna. Many people in India, you see, they say, when you tell Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so they say, why Krishna, why not Shiva? They are envious people. All Mayavadis are envious people. So they say Shiva and Krishna are one. Like that. So such envious people are not eligible to understand. Prabhupada, he faced lot of difficulties. Now it is better because of Prabhupada book distribution and our preaching. To some extent opposition has reduced. But still now also it is so difficult to present Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. In India, it is so difficult. But when Prabhupada was preaching, in the West it was very easy for him. He systematically presented Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because all the reasons he gave. And then people accepted. But in India, why not Shiva? Why not Durga? Why not Ganesh? Why not Amma? Why not this Baba? And all like that. You know? So much difficulty Prabhupada had to face in preaching. So such people are all envious people. So that's why Indians, being close to Vedic culture, they still are fallen down because of such envy towards Krishna. One of the reasons for downfall of Indian culture and Vedic culture is not accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. So in 9:24 he says that, Aham ye sarva yajnana bhokta cha prabhureva cha natumava vijanati tatvena shavantite. I am the master of all the sacrifices and enjoyer of all the sacrifices. Those who do not know me, know this in truth, they will all fall down. Why Indian culture fell down? Why Indian culture, Vedic culture fell down? Because they wanted to wipe out Krishna from the scene. They didn't want to accept Krishna's supremacy. They brought up different kinds of, you should go out and do all those things. So they brought up different kinds of bogus gods, avataras, and pseudo swamis, yogis, babas, etc., etc. So then surely it will fall down, Vedic culture. So this is the reason why Vedic culture fell down in India. One of the reasons. Main reason actually. Not accepting Krishna as Supreme Personality. Main reason why Vedic culture fell down. So such people are envious people. Those are envious. So okay, we will read that verse. Idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha shushushave vacham na cha mam yobhyasuyati. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. Purport. Persons who have not undergone austerities of the religious process, who have never attempted devotional service in Krishna consciousness, who have not tended a pure devotee, and especially those who are conscious of Krishna only as a historical personality, or who are envious of the greatness of Krishna, should not be told this most confidential part of knowledge. Now, here another point is, those who are conscious of Krishna only as a historical personality, such people are also considered among the envious. Now, you see, many of the people, they consider Krishna as a mythological figure, he fictitious, he never existed. This rascal Vivekananda, he also said in his interview, he did not write commentary on Bhagavad Gita, he wrote an introduction to Bhagavad Gita. an introductory essay on Bhagavad Gita, the very first thing he writes that the very personality of Krishna and Arjuna, whether they existed, is a questionable, like that he says. So such rascals are passing as great swamis and sadhus and gurus and spiritual. So they think that Krishna is what? Fictitious. He is a mythology. This Bhagavad Gita is mythology. Kurukshetra war didn't happen. All the Puranas are mythology and all these mythological figures, they say. They use the word mythological figures. So that means they did not exist. So first thing is that we have to prove that he is a historical person. And after proving that he is a historical person, we should also tell that he is not just one historical person. There are so many people in the history. Came and went, vanished with the time. He is supreme personality of Godhead. Three Satyam, when demigods were praying to Krishna when he was in the womb of his mother, you are absolute truth in all three phases of time. Like that they glorified Krishna. So Krishna is Satyavratam, Satyaparam, Trisatyam, like that they say. Satyasya yonim nihitam se satyam, Satyatmakam, like that. So supreme, they glorify Krishna as supreme absolute truth. He is not just an historical personality. So those who consider him as fictitious person or mythological figure, they are worst number one, rascal number ones. And others also who consider him to be ordinary personality, some historical personality, they are also rascals. So they are also envious of Krishna. Okay, so other portion of the purport we will read little later because it is a different topic which we will be discussing. And in this way, these four classes of people are disqualified for studying Bhagavad Gita or hearing Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is not meant for them. So we hope those who are sitting here, they don't come under this work. Of course, no. So any of these qualities, if we don't have, we should develop them. So we should develop, we should be austere, we should... We should be. I was telling that for whom Bhagavad Gita is a Bhakti Shastra is meant, at least they should be aspiring for getting initiated. So, when we aspire for getting initiated, that means we are not like this. Na tapaskaya, na bhaktaya, na shushushane, na abhyasuyati, like that. Then, Prabhupada also in other places in Bhagavad Gita purports. He talks about people who are who come in these four categories. So one such class is described in 4.1 purport. Prabhupada says Bhagavad Gita is not meant for insignificant mundane scholars. He says in 4.1 purport. Later you can search that. So it is not meant for insignificant mundane scholars. Not only insignificant, any mundane scholars. It is not meant for that. It is not academic. Other day we were discussing, no? It is not meant for armchair speculation. And in the next verse, that is 4.2 purport, so where Prabhupada talks about divine, you know, there are commentaries by demons and devotees. So he says that it is not meant for demonic persons who interpret Bhagavad Gita according to their personal whims. So they also come under these four. Basically they come under, especially, they are all this, na tapaskaya, na bhaktaya, na shushushave, they are also abhyasuyati. They are also envious of Krishna. Especially they are envious of Krishna. Such mundane scholars and demonic persons. So now, next is, for whom the Bhagavad Gita is meant, or who is qualified to study or hear Bhagavad Gita. So, there are many classes. Basically, Bhagavad Gita is meant for Aryans. Aryans means those who are followers of Vedic culture. Of course, this word Aryan is a literal meaning of that is civilized, and we all know that civilization begins from Vedic culture. Right? And dharmo hitesham adhiko vishesho dharmi nahi na pashubhi samana. So, human life begins when dharma begins. And dharma means varnashrama dharma. Dharma means there which helps us to regulate eating, sleeping, mating and depending. Regulate sense gratification. Now in varnashram dharma, for instance, mating is one of our physical need which is also need of animals also. But if you just engage in that physical need, then we are no better than animals or pigeons. But to do that in a regulated way, varnashrama system gives brahmacharya training. Then after brahmacharya training, then it gives facility for a regulated sense gratification in married life. So of course in other cultures also marriage was there. Now in modern society, people don't have any understanding about what is the purpose of marriage. So just because everyone is getting married, they also get married, or they consider it a license for sex. You can now engage in sex life in a licensed way. So they do not know what is the purpose, or they have concocted now new laws. You can live with woman before marriage also. What is the need for making a law for that? You can be, just tell them, you can be like animals, no need of all in marriage and anything. Right? Such laws, why you should make laws? What is the purpose of making laws? What is the purpose of making laws? Has anyone thought about it before doing the laws? All these demons, rascals, idiots, they pass as Supreme Court judge and all judge, this kind of judge. And everyone call, Your Honor, they say. What is your honor in that? What is the honor for you? For what? What is the purpose of making laws? If you don't have any goal, higher goal in life, if goal of life is not clearly defined, what is the purpose of making laws actually? Oh, we want to lead some social life because we are living as a society. For better functioning of society, there should be some laws. But then whose laws, which law is helps us to function the better society? Then that should be debated. Anyone will make any laws just because many people are voting, that will become law? If so many fools and rascals vote and that becomes law, then you can make anything as law. So this all has to be discussed and debated. They are studying law, they are making laws. It's all nonsense it is. So anyway, dharma means varnashram dharma. Varnashram, a civilized human being, or we become human beings when we follow varnashram dharma, or civilized human beings follow them, like often Prabhupada told that. So Aryans are those who follow varnashram dharma. This Aryan word is another big issue it is. So these European Indologists who came to India, they preached the idea that Aryans came from Europe 3500 years ago and made Indians civilized by writing Vedas. So like that, they say that. Now again they are degraded. So we want to bring them back to civilized human form of life. And whatever Europeans say, that is civilization. Barbarians, white aborigines from Europe came and tried to civilize India. So these are all nonsense, bogus ideas. Anyway, basically Bhagavad Gita is meant for followers of Varnashram Dharma because they can understand that. So we are not discussing why it is not meant for these people and why it is meant for these people. We will discuss that a little later. So in that verse, yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srajamyaham. So Krishna says that I come to establish dharma when there is decline in dharma. So and one of the activity which incarnation does is distributes knowledge. One of the activity which incarnation, we see that many incarnations of the Lord, most of them they do. But Prabhupada says about incarnation which is going to appear at the end of Kali Yuga, he is not going to preach any Bhagavad Gita message. Because all lechas and vayavanas, who will understand Bhagavad Gita? So he will only come with a sword and just cut them all, that's all. So mlaccha nimahaniyadane karayasi karavalam dhumaketumi vakimapi karalam keshavadruta kalki sharira jay jagadisha. So he will not come to preach Bhagavad Gita, he will just come to kill them, that's all, finish them. All mlachas and evanas, they are not fit. So Prabhupada he says, the principles of the Bhagavad Gita were spoken to Arjuna and for that matter to other highly elevated persons because he was highly advanced compared to ordinary persons in other parts of the world. He was highly advanced compared to ordinary persons in other parts of the world, he says. In other parts of the world there are Kinata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Avira, Shumba, Yavana, Kathadaya. So these are different Naradamas, lowest among mankind. They are called as human beings just because they have two legs. Other than that, they don't have any other qualification to be a human being. So mlechas, yavanas, kasadaha, so all this. So they are all below varnashrama. So Bhagavad Gita is not meant for such people. Why it is not meant, we'll discuss that little later. Now we are only who is qualified and who is not qualified, we are discussing. So 4.7, which quote you are talking? That verse you are talking? 4.7, no? Yada yada dharmasya. The principles of Bhagavad Gita were spoken to Arjuna and for that matter other highly elevated persons because he was highly advanced compared to the ordinary persons in other parts of the world. And within Varnashrama, especially Bhagavad Gita is meant for now you see, in comparison with those who are outside Varnashrama, those who are following Varnashrama, they are civilized human beings. And within Varnashrama, first three classes are called civilized there. They are called as Vijas because they undergo purificatory processes, samskaras. So they are considered as civilized. And especially Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, Bhagavad Gita is meant for, and it is also meant for, it is, apart from Brahmanas, it is also meant for Kshatriyas. Why it is meant for Kshatriyas is told in the first verse of the fourth chapter, you know. Fourth chapter, first verse is, Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam vivasvan manavek praha manu rikshvakave bravid evam parampara pratam imam rajarshi yogidu sakalene mahata yogo nashta parantapa. So there it is told to rajarshis like vivasvan, manu, ikshvaku. So Bhagavad Gita is meant for rajarshis, saintly kings. So now why it is meant for kshatriyas? There are many reasons for that. If you see now, in the first chapter, second chapter, first verse, Tham tata kripaya visham ashrupurna kulakshanam vishidantam idam vakyam vuvacha madhusudana. Not only second point, 2.1, in first chapter also we see that Arjuna, by seeing his relatives, he overcome by affection and he started crying. Literally it is told there, Ashu Purna, his eyes were filled with tears and he became overwhelmed by compassion, false compassion, it is not real compassion. In 2.1 purport it is mentioned. Compassion for the eternal soul is self-realization, and for our body is ignorance, it is told. What is knowledge and what is ignorance is defined there. So, knowledge and ignorance. So, now due to lack of this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, later then we all know that after that Arjuna, he surrendered to Krishna and Krishna started explaining to him Bhagavad Gita, Atma Vidya. So, it is called. So, because of being overwhelmed by material affection, due to material attachment, so his kinsman, which is ignorance. So because of ignorance, he became overwhelmed by material attachment, material affection. So such a great warrior, who was best warrior in the three worlds, up that time, in upper, lower and middle planetary systems. So he was the best warrior. He exhibited more strength than demigods. Of course it is because of empowerment of Krishna, and he was serving the mission of Krishna. For fulfilling his mission, Krishna empowered him, his devotee. But nevertheless he is very qualified person because of being constant companion of Krishna. So such a great personality, he became overwhelmed by material affection and compassion, and in this way he forgot what is his duty, he forgot his following dharma. It is unimaginable for such a person who is born in Aryan family. That's why Krishna says, no? So, kutastva kashmalamidam vishame samupasthitam anarya justam asvargyam akirtim karam arjuna. Anarya justam asvargyam akirtim. It will lead. Kutastva. Kuta means, by using the word kuta, Krishna expressed surprise. It is surprising that such a person who is born in Aryan family, like I was mentioning, within Varnashrama, so Brahmanas are most civilized, then Kshatriyas are civilized, then Vaishyas, aristocratic Vaishyas. So because they all undergo purificatory process, and spiritual point of view they are advanced. So such a person, how can he give up dharma? It was very surprising for Krishna. It was unimaginable. Klaibhyam, he criticizes, he condemns. Klaibhya masma gamapvartha naitattha, it doesn't befit you, O Arjuna. This is impotence, he says. Klaibhya masma gamapvartha naitattha vyupapadyate kshudram radaya daurbalyam tyakto tishta parantapa. It is weakness of the heart. So it was very surprising. And it was unimaginable for Krishna that Arjuna is behaving like that. So, especially the king is, it is very important for him to follow dharma. Later in the third verse, third chapter, Krishna, he said to Arjuna that yadyad acharati sreshtas tata devetau jana Sayat Pramanam Kurute Lokastha Dhanurata. Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are supposed to establish dharma in the society. If they do not follow dharma, then there will be Varna Sankara. There will be unwanted population, there will be destruction of dharma, and dwindling of dharma. So therefore, this knowledge is especially meant for Kshatriyas. Otherwise, how they will establish dharma? And then in the fourth chapter, Prabhupada contextually he explains why this fourth chapter, first verse, purport, when where Krishna said to Arjuna that this knowledge I gave it to Vivasvan, Vivasvan gave it to Manu, Manu gave it to Ikshvaku. In this way, in Parampara, Rajarshis, they received this transcendental science of yoga. Prabhupada, he writes that because in the third chapter, the end, Lord Krishna, he defined the dangers of lust, how lust can become very detrimental in the path of yoga. It can be very dangerous. It is the eternal enemy of the jiva, binds, shackles. Shackles, they are like shackles. Lust is like shackle, it is. Our sex life is like shackle. So it binds the jiva to this world, and in this way it is the eternal enemy. It burns like fire. And it covers the consciousness to different degrees due to influence of mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. So in this way he, and it makes us to, although we don't desire to do sinful activities, it forces us to perform sinful activities. Then moreover that it degrades, because of dissatisfaction, it degrades as anger and puts us into mode of ignorance, tamas. So it is very dangerous. Sorry for making this analysis very complicated. First point I mentioned from second chapter and third chapter, Yadyadashashayas, I told that it is meant for their own kshatriyas, for their own self actually, so that they don't become overcome by material affection and give up following dharma. That is the point. And to establish dharma also it is required. Now, third point which I am telling is that it is little subtle it is. So, generally kshatriyas, what is their dharma? Kshatriya's dharma, that is also defined in the second chapter, 31st, 32nd, Swadharma, 32nd verse. Kshatriyas are defined, Prabhupada quoted from Parashara Samhita, two Smriti Shastras. So, kshatrayate iti kshatriya. One who protects the citizens from harm, like some rogues, thieves, dacoits, they may do harm to citizens, so he protects them from that. So one who protects from hurting or harm is called as kshatriya. Then it is told, kshatriyo hi praja rakshan, that verse is quoted there. He should do praja raksha and subdue the enemies, use weapons to protect the praja and subdue the enemies. In this way, following dharma, one should rule the earth. That is the meaning of a kshatriya. He should use weapons for that. So in this way, kshatriya is meant for protecting the citizens. But this which definition which of kshatriya which is given there in the commentaries of Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, quoting from Smriti Shastras, that is given in Smriti Shastras. So, Parashara Smriti and Manu Smriti, etc. So, this is gross it is. The subtle one is explained in the purport of Srila Prabhupada in 4.1. They are supposed to protect the citizens from bondage to lust, he says, in the purport. Because contextually, Prabhupada is explaining, because third chapter end it is told, lust is the cause of bondage to this world and it is the greatest enemy. Dangers of lust are explained. And in 4.1 purport, therefore Prabhupada, he brings up this issue. Why this knowledge is given, knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is given to royal order. So there Prabhupada, he says that they are supposed to lead the citizens through culture, devotion and knowledge, and in this way save them from bondage to lust. So it is subtle it is. How they are protecting? By making them to follow dharma, they are protecting them from bondage and lust. So this kind of protection is subtle than gross protection by using the weapons. That is the point which I wanted to make. So therefore this knowledge is given to So, Kshatriyas. So, first point I discussed, this knowledge is meant for Aryans, those who are following Vedic culture. And among Aryans, it is meant for Rajarshis, saintly kings. It is meant for Brahmanas also. I will tell you why it is explicitly not described in Bhagavad Gita. So, I will tell you a little later. And within Kshatriyas, I gave three reasons why it is meant for Kshatriyas. So, one is for themselves. Otherwise, they will become overwhelmed by material affection and in this way, not follow Dharma. One of the reasons why Vedic culture fell down is because Kshatriyas gave up following Dharma. Because, of course, Brahmanas fell down first. So, because later some pseudo Kshatriyas, they came like Ashoka and all. They spread pseudo religions, Buddhism, you know, atheistic religions. So therefore, if genuine Kshatriya king is not there, then Dharma will not be protected. So Adharma will spread everywhere. And modern Kali Yuga kings, they became adharmic. That's why democracy came demon crazy. If some qualified Kshatriya is there, then where is the question of democracy? Why democracy should be implemented? Why it will come at all actually? That shows that there is no qualified Kshatriya king at all in the present society. What a loss to the world. So in 4th canto of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada wrote about Prathu Maharaja. So when Prathu Maharaja, qualities of Prathu Maharaja are described, Prathu Maharaja was like lion he was. So when he became king, because of his strength, lion-like strength, all the thieves, rogues, they all ran away to distant places. And then Prabhupada in the purport, he writes, it is very unfortunate for those states in which there is no lion-like king, King Prathu, and a woman is ruling those states. It is very unfortunate, he says. So, in this way, it is very important to have such qualified kings. So, why there are no qualified kings? That means Kshatriyas did not follow Dharma properly. They must have become overwhelmed by material affection, attachment to the body and sense gratification. So, you can have sense gratification, you can have as many. Generally, kings are known for a woman and money. That is their whole, if you see the characteristics of men. But you can have lots of wives, you can have lots of luxuries, opulence, money, whatever, everything. But you have to follow Dharma, upheld Dharma. That is the mistake of Kali Yuga kings. So they wanted sense gratification without Dharma. So therefore this knowledge is meant for them. From this we can understand, one other point here is that apart from Kshatriyas, they will study Dhanurvidya, Dhanurveda, military science, like Pandavas were trained in military science. But they should also know Atma Vidya, knowledge of the self. Otherwise, they will become overwhelmed by material affection and material attachment to the body and sense gratification. So then, what is the use of just knowing? You know? So, just knowing Dhanurveda, Dhanurvidya. So they should also know Atma Vidya, spiritual knowledge. Adhyatma Vidya, Vidya Naam. Krishna says, I am Adhyatma Vidya among all the Vidyas. So they should also know Adhyatma Vidya. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita was spoken. The very first thing Krishna spoke is Atma Vidya, right? Adhyatma Vidya to Arjuna. So he did not speak about Dharma and other things. First he spoke about Atma Vidya. So these all these points we have to understand. This is second. It is meant for Rajarshis, Kshatriya kings. So you can read that purport. You can read. We are running out of time. There is so much to discuss. So in 4.1, from second line, purport, you see, second line, second statement in the purport, the kings of all planets are especially meant for the protection of inhabitants. And therefore the royal order should understand the science of Bhagavad Gita in order to be able to rule the citizens and protect them from material bondage to lust. Human life is meant for cultivating spiritual knowledge in eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of God. And the executive heads of all states and all planets are obliged to impart this lesson to the citizens by education, culture and devotion. In other words, the executive heads of all states are intended to spread the science of Krishna consciousness so that people may take advantage of this great science and pursue a successful path utilizing the opportunity of the human form of life. So, now when you want to preach to politicians, you have to preach all these points. So, why Bhagavad Gita is meant for them, what they are supposed to do based on Bhagavad Gita. All this knowledge. Why Bhagavad Gita is meant for Kshatriyas. We have to tell them how all Kali Yuga Kshatriyas kings fell down. So you are all fallen kings, you have to tell them. Shudras taking vote and becoming kings. If you tell them the truth, how they will accept it? It's very tough. Okay, so next. In the second purport also, 4.2 also proper, just one line he says. It is clearly stated in Gita, it is meant for kings. So like that. Then third class of people for whom this Bhagavad Gita is meant is those who are seeking self-realization, seekers of self-realization. So Bhagavad Gita is meant for them. So, in 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, towards the end means more half of the chapter discusses about performing sacrifices, different kinds of sacrifices, and how that performance of sacrifices culminates into transcendental knowledge. So the title of the chapter is Transcendental Knowledge. So towards the end, how it culminates into Transcendental Knowledge. And in the last verse purport, that is 4.42 purport, Srila Prabhupada, he explains in a reverse way. Now we are discussing following the performance of the sacrifices, in other words, Varnashram Dharma. What happens? It culminates into transcendental knowledge, and glories of transcendental knowledge are also described towards the end. How it is a boat which can take us, or help us to cross over this ocean of nescience. And those who don't have faith in this knowledge, they will fall down. Samshaya Atma Vinashati. So they will be lost. Material world full. So in this way it is told. Now if you take the reverse way, how ignorance is caused? How ignorance can be removed? So by following the processes of yajna, varnashram, dharma, prescribed duties, once ignorance is removed. So, but the ultimately, just leading a regulated life will not come to the point of removal of ignorance. It creates the platform for gaining transcendental knowledge. Like we see, we discuss ahara nidra bhayamaitunam cha samanya metat pashubhinaranam dharmo itesham adhikava vishesho dharme nahina pashubhisamana. So by leading regulated life, is a civilized human life. Just becoming civilized human life is not sufficient. One should inquire about absolute truth. Therefore, in the first verse of Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jidnyasa, it is told. Atato. Atato means it is defined after attaining civilized human form of life. Not only just human form of life. After, there are two words. Atha means human form of life. Ataha. After becoming civilized, then ataha, ataha combined together, they become atatho. That is the internal meaning. That's of course Baldev Vidya Bhushan in his commentary and Govinda Bhasha, he explains it like that. So, one should inquire, because civilized human form of life creates a foundation for self-realization. That in itself is not complete. Just leading a civilized sense gratificatory life, that is called karma kanda. It is. That is condemned in Bhagavad Gita very much. Sense gratification is condemned because in those days people were following civilized sense gratification by following karma kanda method. Krishna condemned more than that. Krishna never condemns this hedonism, you know, of hedonism of outlaws, those who don't follow Vedic culture. Krishna condemns sense gratification within Vedic culture. That we will discuss in detail when we are discussing verse by verse. Yam imam pushpitam vacha pravadanta vipashtita vedavara tatapa. They are all followers of the Vedas. They are Vedic followers. They are followers of Vedic culture. But he is condemning them. Vipashtita. They are unintelligent. So like that he says. So in this way, because those days they were engaged in such, like sometimes Prabhupada says, quoting Charvaka, Ranam Kharva, Gratam Pivet, Yava Jive, Sukam Jive, Basmi Bhutasya Dehasya, Kutapurna Ragamana Bhavet. So drink ghee, eat ghee, get ghee. Prabhupada says, comments on that. At least in those days people were engaged in sense gratification by eating ghee. Nowadays people are engaged in eating meat, he says. So they were regulated sense gratification. They were civilized sense enjoyers. Like even now in India, people do a lot of puja and all, but they are all engaged in sense enjoyment, right or not? So such people. So they may remove their thread and go to eat meat now. we can call them as pious demons. Anyway, that's all. So basically, the point is, following Varnashram Dharma, civilized, becoming civilized is not sufficient. One should seek for self-realization. So this Bhagavad Gita is meant for those who are seeking self-realization. So I'll just read 4.42 purport. Not all, just relevant purport for our discussion now. So there one line is there which starts with ignorance. Ignorance can be removed by gradual acceptance of. I didn't do the homework. Yeah, read that, read.
Ignorance can be removed by gradual acceptance of the principles of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is awakened by different types of sacrifices to the demigods, sacrifice to women, sacrifice in celibacy, in household life, in controlling the senses, in practicing mystic yoga, in penance, in foregoing material possessions, in studying the Vedas, and in partaking of the social institution called Varnashrama Dharma. All of these are known as sacrifice, and all of them are based on regulated action.
See, regulated action, I was saying, no, regulation, regulation.
But within all these activities, the important factor is self-realization.
See, what is the important thing is self-realization. Because towards the end of 4th chapter, Krishna, after explaining all this, he explains self-realization and transcendental knowledge. Yeah.
One who seeks that objective is the real student of Bhagavad Gita. But one who doubts the authority of Krishna falls back.
So, who is the real student of Bhagavad Gita? One who is seeking self-realization. And in introduction to Bhagavad Gita also, while Prabhupada explaining the purpose of Bhagavad Gita, so you see there in the section purpose of Bhagavad Gita, what is Bhagavad Gita, it starts there. There also Prabhupada, he called those who are seeking self-realization, they are the real students of Bhagavad Gita. So, yeah, so he said, out of many human beings, there is one paragraph, you see, just after, just what is Bhagavad Gita? This is in purpose of Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, purpose of Bhagavad Gita, you know now where it is explained in introduction. Anyway, later you can find out. Out of so many human beings, out of so many human beings who are suffering, there are a few who are actually inquiring about their position, as to what they are, why they are put into this awkward position and so on. Unless one is awakened to this position of questioning his suffering, unless he realizes that he doesn't want suffering, but rather wants to make a solution to all suffering, then one is not to be considered a perfect human being. Humanity begins when this sort of inquiry is awakened in one's mind. In Brahma Sutra, this inquiry is called Brahma Jidnyasa, Tato Brahma Jidnyasa. Every activity of human being is to be considered failure unless he inquires about the absolute, of the nature of the absolute. Absolute. This verse, actually this is a translation of one verse. Every activity is human being is considered failure. Parabhavastavada bodha jato yavarna jidnyasata atma tattva. By Vrishabhadeva. Fifth canto. Therefore, those who begin to question why they are suffering or where they came from and where they shall go after death are the proper students for understanding Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, those who begin to question why they are suffering, where they came from, where they shall go after death are the proper students for understanding Bhagavad Gita. The sincere student should also have a firm respect for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That who can understand it explains then later. Lord Krishna descends specifically to re-establish the real purpose of life when man forgets that purpose. Even then, out of many, many human beings who awaken, there may be one who actually enters the spirit of understanding his position, and for him this Bhagavad Gita is spoken. So especially, who actually enters the spirit of understanding his position. That means self-realization. So this point is important. It's relevant for our discussion here. So when I first time read this, it was really so impressive. So impressive. For whom the Bhagavad Gita is meant. It was very impressive. If one is interested. Because we used to ask these questions. Oh, why I am suffering? It appears that others are happy. We are not happy like that, you know. So this really hits the point in this way. First we discussed it is meant for followers of the Vedic culture, Aryans. Second is among the Aryans also it is meant for Rajarshis, Kshatriya kings. Third is those who are seeking self-realization, seekers of self-realization. And fourth is this Bhagavad Gita is meant for devotees. Ultimately, it is meant for devotees. So, in the end, we were reading, no, in 18.67, that how it is not meant for these four class of people. In the next verse, Krishna says this should be only explained to devotees. And there, Prabhupada, he says that. He says that it should be only explained to, in the purport that it should be only explained to devotees. You can open there. यदं परमं गुह्यं मद्भक्तेश विदिशति भक्तिं मयि परा प्रोक्ता मामे वैश्यत्य संशयः. For one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end he will come back to me. This is about for preachers, what Krishna says, those who preach. But here Krishna specifically is mentioning that it is meant for devotees, he says. So in the purport you see there in the middle, Bhagavad Gita should be explained to persons you are seeing.